Hey everyone, welcome back to Heal, Survive, and Thrive. I'm so glad you're here and I'm so excited for today's episode.
Welcome, my name is Stephanie. I'm a life and relationship coach. I am a little sick as well, so bear with me. My voice is just a little hoarse this week. But this week I wanted to talk about overthinking. So when we are overthinkers, a lot of the time people that are overthinkers are the highly creative ones. They're very detail oriented. They're the problem solvers. They're sometimes the fixers, the people pleasers. That codependent person tend to be the people that overthink because they want to make everything right. They want to make sure they're making the best decision. So they obsess and they obsess about the pros and cons of something. You know, they rehash an experience over and over again because they're trying to figure out, well, what went wrong and how could I fix this? And they're just, they get so in their minds. They're real deep thinkers. So why this can be a problem, it's a great trait to have because it means that you don't, you know, make rash decisions. You don't just, okay, I'm gonna do this and do it with no thought at all. So there has to be a balance between people that kind of dive right into life and don't really think too much, and then the people that just think and think where it becomes obsessive, creates anxiety, you know, possibly depression, and just becomes a problem. In order to find the balance between not caring and not thinking about anything in life, you know, decision-wise, and overthinking every single decision, is understanding why we are this way. So I personally have two theories on why someone is an overthinker. The number one reason why people tend to overthink is control. So a lot of the times, if I'm gonna obsess about something to the point of wanting to make the best decision possible, it's because I live in a fearful place. So if I want to seek control, if I want to make the best decision, if I want to figure out the whys so much that it becomes obsessive to me, that means that I want control over why something happened. I need to know in order to make myself feel better. So if I need control over a decision that I'm making, I want to make sure I'm making the best possible decision because I fear what it's going to feel like if I don't make the right decision. So essentially, I'm trying to find the best decision that'll make me have the least amount of risk and make me feel the least amount of pain. So because we fear feeling pain or having that disappointment or making the wrong decision because we think that there's a right decision and a wrong decision, that we obsess about what decision to make. If I can overthink something and I can find the best possible decision that'll cause me the least amount of pain, that will make me feel happy because I don't know how to deal with the thoughts and feelings I'm gonna have if I feel disappointment, if I have a letdown, if I, quote, don't make the right decision and fail at something. So I haven't learned that everything happens for a reason. I haven't fully accepted that there's no wrong decisions that can be made because every decision, whether it's a good feeling decision and leads me in a direction where I feel good, or if it leads me in a direction where I feel pain, that I had to feel both of those feelings in order to continue on my journey. So when we come from those places of not understanding those theories in life, and that's how life works, it really comes down to we weren't taught how to manage our feelings and our emotions. We weren't taught how to honor those negative emotions, those feelings of uncomfortableness, because our parents didn't know how to do that for us, so they couldn't teach us that kind of stuff. And that those feelings are perfectly fine and they need to happen just like we need to experience joy and laughter and happiness and contentment. We also need to feel those uncomfortable feelings as well because that's life and it's gonna happen. So when we fear those things, when we are a child and at points in growing up in our development, we felt out of control. You know, maybe we were in situations where our parents weren't taking care of us the way they should have, or they didn't teach us how to manage our emotions and we didn't know what to do. Maybe we were taught that what we think and how we feel was wrong. So when all of these things start to happen throughout our childhood, we fear feeling out of control because we felt it at one point in our childhood, and because we were children and we didn't know how to manage that feeling, that now becomes our subconscious belief of needing to obsess about decisions that we make. It also comes back to that codependency, whereas if I make the best decision, then I'll feel good about myself. People will, you know, look at me in a certain way, possibly love me, that my decisions in life the love that I receive from others and the acceptance that I get from others are determined by the decisions that I make. And if I make a wrong decision, I'm going to possibly feel judged or shamed or guilty or anything that we have possibly felt in our past. So in order to have an assumption about something, we have to have had to have experienced it already. So if I made a decision and I was judged for that decision, whether it was wrong or right or good or bad, even though there really is no wrong or right or good or bad, if I was judged, then I'm going to fear making decisions because I'm going to fear getting that judgment and I'm going to fear getting that shame. So when we've been shamed, when we've been judged by our family, our friends, our parents, as we're growing up and we become adults, that becomes our program. That becomes the voice that's in the back of our head is make sure you make a right decision because you're going to feel judged, or you better make a right decision because you're going to get shame from someone, or you're going to feel guilt or whatever emotion that you felt growing up. Usually it was judgment. Now, the next reason why people might tend to overthink, and some people might disagree with me, and that's totally fine, but I believe that it also is an addiction. So if I'm a fixer, if I'm a people pleaser, if I'm codependent, then I need to make the best decisions to make sure everything's okay. And in order for everything to be okay, I have to examine decisions to make sure this is going to lead to the outcome that I want, which is everyone loving me, no one being upset with me, not really setting boundaries, or, you know, testing the waters with everyone, just kind of coasting. So I can overthink that. I can examine every little aspect of a decision in order to make sure that I am making the right one. And when this happens time and time again, that, okay, I'm gonna obsess about something to make sure I'm making the right decision because I don't wanna feel any pain. I don't wanna get any judgment from mom or dad or my sister or my friend or whatever. And I'm gonna keep going in, and I'm already a thinker in general. I'm already creative. I'm already a problem solver. I'm already detail oriented. I already am these things. And if you tack on that fixer codependent, you just now heightened your, you know, ability to overthink. So if I, over time, rehash experiences over and over again, and I stay so stuck in my mind, that behavior can become addictive. It can become the thing that you think is going to help you to feel the least amount of pain. And this is done on such an unconscious level. A lot of us aren't even aware that we're overthinkers. We might have been told by family and friends, oh, you know, you're an overthinker. You definitely analyze, you know, the decisions that you make in life, like to the extreme sometimes. But to us in the day-to-day life that we live, we don't really even know that we're doing this until we get to the point of utter exhaustion and not being able to make any decision. And I know that's something I have definitely felt, where it's almost like I've thought about it so much that now I'm even more confused than when I originally started even thinking about making a decision on something. And that's extremely frustrating. So if you have ever been there where you feel completely exhausted by something and now you don't even know really what to do, you know, definitely comment down below because I would love to hear your feedback on that. But I know I have definitely felt that in the past. And it was because I just overthought it. I went too deep with something. I tried to find the best possible, you know, scenario and what it would look like and how it would feel and when I should do it and how it would look. I became so obsessed about all the little details on something that it just debilitated me. And if it didn't debilitate me, it could possibly cause anxiety. It definitely causes stress. And so learning why we are this way, and then also learning these tips I'm about to share with you, will really help you to kind of break this habit, because it is a habit. It is addictive, and it's something that you 100% can stop doing. You just have to first be able to acknowledge when you are doing it. And it can be something as simple as, should I buy frozen peas? Should I buy canned peas? Should I buy a red sweater or should I buy a cream sweater? Should I go to the restaurant tonight and go out with my friends, or should I stay home? I mean, it can be the smallest of decisions. So there's a couple tips I'm gonna give you to help you to stop overthinking. But one of the first things that I have to say is you have got to be patient with yourself. Everything that I talk about on this channel, learning how to love yourself, practicing healthy and positive self-talk, you know, learning how to parent yourself, really building that self-esteem, building that self-worth. This is not stuff that happens overnight. And for the people that want a quick fix and they say, okay, I'm going to, you know, do coaching, or I'm going to watch videos and I don't want to feel this way anymore, I really want to change my life, that's amazing, but you have to keep that momentum up. You have to keep that patience with yourself up. You have to keep this up in terms of a practice, because that's what it is. It's something that you're going to do for the rest of your life. The more you do something, the easier it gets, but it's always going to be something that is going to be a part of your day-to-day life. Just like people that work out regularly, that is a part of their day-to-day life. It's like showering to them. It's like eating breakfast in the morning. It just needs to happen day in and day out. And that's what, especially my coaching, that's what this is about. This is about you creating a different version of yourself, a healthier version of yourself, incorporating habits that you need to have in order for you to build that confidence, build that self-esteem, so you can have great relationships, so you can go after the job you want. But all of this stuff takes time. So that's just my little rant right there. But the first thing is you have to practice staying in the moment. And this sounds extremely simple, right? This whole live in the moment, like let's be in the moment, let's be mindful of this moment right here. But if you are an overthinker, that means you're a deep thinker. That means you enjoy thinking. So the aspect of spirituality and staying in the moment and mindfulness, all of that is stuff that you're equipped to handle, you're equipped to understand. There are some people that really can't go there spiritually. They can't really, or I don't want to say they can't, everyone can, but they don't want to practice being in this moment. So if you're struggling with overthinking, one of the things for me that I started doing was I said, okay, in this moment, what decision do I want to make? And the first answer that came up was always the answer that I went with. I said, okay, whatever comes up is the answer that's going to be true for me. Now, there's a difference between an answer coming up that is your truth and an answer that's coming up that's fear. And you will know when that fear comes up. So I had a client recently say that she takes a class at her gym. I think it was maybe a boxing class or something like that. She takes a workout class and she always goes with her friend. And her friend couldn't go this week. And she really wanted to go, but she doesn't like to go to the gym by herself. She gets anxious. She overthinks the situation, you know, worries, what are people thinking? Everyone's looking at me. All of those obsessive thoughts that we sometimes think. So I asked her, okay, your friend can't go with you, but do you want to go? And she said yes. But she knew that by saying yes, that she was going to have to push herself out of her comfort zone and go by herself and not go with the comfort and the security of her friend. And I said, here's the thing. If you actually do this for yourself and push yourself, I don't care if in the middle of the class you get an anxiety attack. You need to be able to have that inner dialogue. You need to be able to self-parent yourself through every single thought, through the thoughts that you're having as you're driving there, the thoughts that you have when you walk in the door and the first person looks at you and smiles, the thoughts when you're actually in the class and you're focusing on what the instructor's doing, but now your mind starts wandering into those obsessive thoughts and that overthinking. You have to be able to parent yourself through each aspect of that situation, of that experience, of that night. And if you do this, you will build that muscle. And it is so important. So when her initial thought was fear, and she came up with some excuses on why she would probably not be able to handle the situation. And of course, you know, I coached her through it and we broke down like all of the fears and everything like that. But in order to really stop yourself from overthinking, you have to be in the moment and you have to be able to parent yourself through these decisions that come up. So if I say, do I want a red sweater or a cream sweater? And I say, okay, well, I like red. No. You need to just say, what's the first thing that comes to your mind? So if an answer came up that felt like fear, you will know because you will feel it in your body. You won't feel light. You won't feel happy. You won't feel excited about the decision you're about to make. You'll feel a little tense. You'll feel a little worried. That's your fear. So the next thing is obsessing about a situation. So if we're obsessing about a past relationship, if we're obsessing about an interaction with someone, you know, Susie said this and I should have said this, and we get so caught up in that dialogue inside of our minds of what happened or what should have happened or what I wish would have happened. So it's great to like self-reflect and look at a situation, especially a past relationship, and say, okay, you know, what could I have done better? What did this person do that kind of got under my skin or pushed a button, and where could I have kind of rose up and maybe where I would do something different, you know, in next time going forward. But when we become obsessed is when we are seeking answers that we may never get. And for me, when I started accepting that there are just some questions that you won't get answers to, and that that's okay, that that's okay, that I don't actually even need the answer to that question. Because if I obsess so much about, say, a relationship, and I'm trying to figure out the whys, and why this happened, and why did she do this, or why did he do that, and I get so caught up in my head that I lose perspective on myself in that situation. So it doesn't matter what someone else did, especially if it's a past relationship and a relationship that's ended, you can't obsess so much about what that person did. You need to obsess about yourself, what you did in the situation, and how you can do things better going forward. And learn how to just self-reflect on yourself and not worry about obsessing about everyone else and what everyone else is doing and why they're doing it. People do crazy things. People say crazy things. People have their own wounds. People are carrying their own baggage. And you can't obsess about someone else's baggage or wounds. You just need to worry about your own and learning how to heal them and learning how to deal with them yourself. So the last tip that I want to give, and this is something that can definitely help if you're having anxiety. It can definitely help if you're having a panic attack, for sure. And that is using your senses, that's my New England accent, your senses to help you to stop the thoughts. So if you have ever had a severe anxiety attack or possibly a panic attack, that obsessive thought is literally going 100 miles an hour now. And now it's caused your body to tense up, to react. You know, you have all of this adrenaline rushing in your system, which is causing you to have your, you know, sweaty hands, and you're sweating and you're starting to feel the anxiety. So in order to kind of like cut that obsessiveness in that moment, and that's why this is good for anxiety and panic attacks, because in those moments, it's very hard to say, okay, I'm just going to be in the moment and I'm not going to be obsessive about that, and I'm going to go with my gut instinct. I mean, that's very, very hard to do. You almost have to do something to shock yourself in order for you to stop yourself from having that attack or having that panic attack. And this technique is really, really good. And it's using your senses. So one of the things that you could do is you can run your hands underwater. So if you run your hands underwater, what you do in that moment is just obsess about your hands being under the water. So I'm washing my hands, I'm putting them under the water, I'm feeling the water, how warm is the water, you know, thinking about what it feels like on your hands, getting so in the moment of just washing your hands. Maybe put some soap on, okay, and talking, this is the stuff that you're saying to yourself. So you're talking to yourself about washing your hands. What does that smell like? Oh, that soap smells really good. Okay, this water feels really good. And yep, I can feel it. I can hear what's going on next door. And I just hear that bird chirping right now. And I smell that my neighbor's baking brownies. And you become obsessed with having an inner dialogue with what is going on around you and what you're feeling, what you're hearing, what you're seeing. So, you know, maybe you're saying, okay, I see this computer in front of me and it's black and it's round. Oh, look, there's a blue little tag right there. Oh, look, there's something on the side that's coming out. You become your inner dialogue, and you can say this in your head, you can say it out loud if you're alone, is you becoming obsessed with what's going on. And that kind of cuts the thought of what you were actually obsessing about, and you start actually being in the moment. So when I'm in the moment, I'm just thinking about what is happening right now in my experience. I'm not thinking about something that's happened in the past. I'm not worried about the future. I'm not worried about a decision that I might have to make, right, in the next day or so or whatever. But in this moment, do I have to make a decision right now? No, I don't. So in order for me to stop obsessing about it, using this technique is really, really powerful. And like I said, it definitely helps with anxiety attacks. It definitely helps with panic attacks. Do this for as long as it takes for you to feel calm. Because, and here's the thing, there's nothing weird about talking to yourself. You are your own best friend. And it doesn't matter if you're verbally talking to yourself. Okay, look at that computer right there. Yep, that's nice. Oh, look, I have a watch on. Okay, it feels nice. It doesn't matter if you're actually speaking to yourself out loud while you're by yourself, or if you're just, I mean, you're doing it in your head anyways, you're always talking to yourself, so what difference does it make? And this technique really, really helps, but you can't judge yourself, and you have to just be super, super focused in the moment on using those senses. So I hope that that has helped you guys. For me, these were definitely tips that helped me a lot. But again, it is a practice. So be gentle with yourself throughout this entire process.
So that is it for now. Thank you guys so much for tuning in, and I will see you in my next episode.